They call that the old men's quartet. It's the first time they've got together, I guess, since maybe Keith's been gone. But that's a good job, amen? I believe them bones are going to march around. In fact, I believe they're marching right now, don't you? That's a prediction on Israel coming back. And they have come back, amen? Thank you, men. We appreciate that. It's my privilege tonight to have a couple of friends from way back. I won't say old friends. I'll say friends way back. And many of you remember Brother E.J. Brinson and Brother Jackie Allenbaugh. They were with us in early years and around here. And I'm going to let them, I'll let Brother Jackie tell you where he's at now. But I'm going to ask Brother Brinson to come and maybe tell a little bit about you. You think I can trust him? Brother Jackie, I want to say it, you, sort of like you're Brother Brinson's preacher boy, and you and I both kind of look up to him like a father figure, don't we? All right, come on, EJ.
Well, in the summer of 1974, I was pastor of First Missionary Baptist in Lake Wells, and we had started Christian school in, I think, about 1971. And I was in the process of recruiting players for a football team. We're going to start our tackle football program that year. And so I had three young men that showed up from Winter Haven. And the one I'm going to introduce to you is one of those. And I interviewed them, and interviewing the one that's going to speak tonight, I asked him, was he a believer? Did he know the Lord? And he lied and said he did. And so anyway, he comes into the school. And in September, not more than maybe 6 weeks after he had arrived and started football program, and I was actually coaching, I was preaching in chapel one morning, and he was sitting in the chapel, and he walked down the aisle during the invitation and received Christ as a Savior. Amen. And God called him into ministry. I left that church in the next year, went to Texas to pastor, and having surrendered to preach, he followed me out there, served on my staff for 7 years, went to Bible college there, and after 7 years, left and started pastoring in about 1982, and that's what he's been doing ever since, serving the Lord and doing a great job. He is my son in ministry, although he's now older than I am. I don't know how that happened, but he's been pastoring now for all these years, serving God. He's now in Cleburne, Texas, pastoring a church, and I love him. He's my son in ministry, and I have a special place in my heart for him, and you're going to be blessed by his preaching tonight. I know that you will, so thank you. And this is Jack Allenbaugh, Pastor Jack Allenbaugh from Cleburne, Texas.
I asked the two ladies that were sitting behind me, do you want a short message or a long one? They said, we want a good one. So they've been trained well. Well, I'm actually at the Landmark Baptist Church in Cleburne, so you ought to be able to remember that. And it's an honor to be around heroes. Brother and Miss Carter, that couple is a hero to me. If I'm not careful, I'll get emotional. And Dr. Brinson's a hero to me. He's getting a little senile, but anyway. Brother Carter, I haven't gone by Jackie for 35 years. But anyway, I knew who you're talking about. Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. I hope I can give you something that will encourage you. Paul's writing here, and he's trying to encourage people to use the gifts that God has given them, the abilities that God has given him. I've been pastoring for 36 years now, and then I decided I was going to start helping small churches to build back up. And so I was pastoring a church of over 300 and had 287 missionaries had a great program going. I just decided I was going to start helping young churches. I found out that's harder. That's hard, you know. I thought, well, I can get down there with all my ability, and they'll just say, wow. But they haven't yet. And after 36 years, I'm leading singing. I can't lead singing. I don't even know where to put these, you know. I just start singing out, and they follow me. And so, fellas, I want you college guys, learn how to lead singing while you're here. And I'm not kidding you. I never thought I'd lead singing. But you need to learn how to lead singing. Because you might think, I've got down the road 30 years and I haven't had to lead singing, and you may have to.
That's right.
And so be ready. Be available. Use your ability for what God would have you to do. And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, and Brother Carter told me to be finished around 8:30. You got choir practice, and that doesn't bother me a bit because it's 2 minutes after 7 in Texas right now, and I'm still on the same watch. So that doesn't bother me at all. We will be finished by 8:30 somewhere. So look at Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, you young men here tonight, you're already thinking about what you're going to do for the ministry. Or you're hoping that's what you're going to do for the ministry. I remember at Lake Wales that I got saved, and then Brother Brinson, January of 75, went to Texas, and then as soon as I graduated from Lake Wales Christian School, I went out there, and I just knew I would be the assistant pastor. I just knew that I'd be the one he needed. And I can remember my first job, fellas. My first job at Bethel Baptist Church was janitor. My job was to keep the urinals and the commodes clean and the sinks clean. Now, you can say, well, that's not what God's called me to do. God called me to preach. I want to tell you something. God will train you to be a servant before he'll ever use you to preach. You might get a chance to preach, but you're not really preaching until you understand what it is to serve. And here Paul's talking about their vocation, what they have the ability to do. By the way, I've done about everything you can imagine in ministry. I've hung sheetrock. They never taught me one college course on sheetrock hanging. Never one. Matter of fact, I never had a college course on how to be a janitor. I never have had a college course on how to paint buildings. And I could go on and give you the list and list and list. And you know what? I could have been disgruntled. I could have said, not me. That's below me. But I'm telling you, when God called me, I told God I'd do everything you want me to do. And I'm going to tell you, on Buckeye Loop Road right over here, one night after seeing the film, if the footman tire you, what will the horseman do? I was riding in the back seat of a 68 Volkswagen with my friend Brad Scarborough and his girlfriend. They were going home. And I want to tell you, God was had a hold of my heart, and I started praying. That was November the 11th, 1974, and I started praying, God, use me. And I said, God, I'll be a janitor. God, I'll do this. I'll do that. And man, I couldn't get any peace. And when I got on Buckeye Loop Road, I said, God, if you want me to preach the gospel, I'll do it. And instant peace came on my soul. Now, here's the problem with that. You know that list that I told him I'd be willing to do? I've had to do every one of those. Every one of those. And God has used me according to what I was not able to do many times, but what I was willing to do. And your availability is very important. Now look at verse 2. I don't know if I'll get finished with all this scripture, but I'm going to try to. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called into hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. By the way, there's only one church. You know that, don't you? There's only one church. And you're either a part of it or not. And I won't take time and teach you the church doctrine. I know you've already got that from Dr. Carter. But he goes on, he says, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and is in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. Amen. You don't deserve it and I don't deserve it. Amen. God's given us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Hey, you remember you got saved?
Amen.
September 16th, 1974, sitting on the back row in Lake Wells Christian School during a chapel service, the Dr. E.J. Brinson was preaching, and he got to the invitation, and the guy that told me to tell Brother Brinson when he talked to us about coming to the school, he said, now, whatever you do, he's going to ask you if you're saved. And whenever he says that, you tell him yes. I wasn't saved. I did. And then Brother Brinson had another question that the guy had not briefed me on. He said, where do you go to church? I said, well, I don't go as often as I ought to. And Brother Brinson called me something that I'd never heard before in my life, but it didn't sit well. He said, you're a backslider. I didn't like that. I didn't even know what it meant, and I didn't like it. So anyway, we were in that chapel service, and I was sitting on the back row, and Brother Brinson gave the invitation, and here's what he said. He said, if you're not saved, raise your hand so I can pray for you. My friend who had told me what to say turned around, looked at me, pointed at me, said, you're not saved, raise your hand. Now, he wasn't the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit had already been dealing with me. And I came down and got saved, and that was the gift of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, you'll never get over the gift of Christ. I love Christmas. My wife has these crazy ideas sometimes, like, let's not get each other something for Christmas. I don't like that idea. Or she'll say, let's just get one gift this year. I don't like that idea. Bless God, I give gifts to my grandkids. I give gifts to my sons, and I give gifts to their wives. I give gifts to my wife. Bless God, I want them to give me a gift. But I'm going to tell you right now, nothing has compared with the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the gift that changed my life. That's the gift that set my feet on solid ground. That's the gift that brought me to a place of service. And I'm so thankful tonight for the gift of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful after all these years, I've never gotten over it. Many times I walk in my mind to that church building in Lake Wells. And many times I hear Brother Brinson preaching in my mind. And many times I walk that aisle again, and Bobby Shell met me right down at the front. And Bobby Shell led me to Christ. A funny deal thing happened when he led me to Christ. He said, he took me all through the Romans Road, and he says, all right, now pray. And so I bowed my head and prayed. In a minute, Bobby nudged me, and he says, Brother Jack, are you going to pray and ask the Lord to save you? I said, I did. He said, well, do it again. And so I did it again the same way. Didn't say it out loud. And in a minute, he nudged me. He said, aren't you going to ask the Lord to save you? I said, I've already done it twice. He said, say it out loud so I can tell people there, ask me you got saved. So I did it out loud that time. So I said, I always got saved for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we come to this time, and we have the gift of Jesus Christ. And then verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. By the way, every person in this building has a spiritual gift. Every one of you have a spiritual gift. And what we're going to do is we're going to read a few down here, and everybody will go, phew, that's not me. But that's not all of them. That's not all of them. Look down with me, if you would, down to verse number 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Praise God. And he brought victory with him, didn't he? Amen. He that descendeth is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some what? You got a Bible, don't you? He gave some what? Apostles. And some prophets. And some evangelists. And some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So why do we have gifts? We have it to build the body of Christ. Well, what's the body of Christ? The church. And we're to build one another up. Man, I love that singing. I love that singing. When I was at Lake Wells Christian School, they were going to have a talent show. So me and three other guys, we're going to have a quartet. And Miss Brinson was going to be our piano player. And they went through the first song, and she looked over to me. She said, you might ought to want to do something else in the talent show. I got fired. But what I can do, I can do by the grace of God for the building up of the saints of God, the building of the church. So we just come out into the new year, and everybody thinks about, let's get in shape. Here's our excuse. In November, we say we will wait till after Thanksgiving and Christmas before we get concerned about losing weight and getting in shape. So there's millions of dollars spent the first month of January on gym memberships that are never used.
Right.
My wife is this recorded? My wife got all excited. She lost some weight, and man, she is so excited. She said, I'm going to the gym, and I'm getting a personal trainer. I said, okay. So she went to the gym, and she got a personal trainer, a young lady training her, and she came home. She said, that girl's going to kill me. I said, well, you shouldn't have done that. I said, how long did you sign up to her to be the trainer? 1 year. So that means every Tuesday night for 1 year, I'm going to listen to moans and groans and the question, why did I do that? And I'm going to be very spiritual about it and say, baby, I'm praying for you. But let me just give you a real quick message now tonight on shape. What shape are you in? By the way, you're concerned because you look in the mirror every morning to see what shape you're in. Amen? Have you ever lied to yourself in the mirror? Like you said, I'm pretty good looking. Or, I think I'm losing weight. And we will look in the mirror, and by the way, we're not going to take them down because we want to look every morning looking good compared to what we think is looking good. And I want to tell you, go out and you want everybody to think you're something when most of the time we're nothing. And here it is, the shape. Now, I want to talk about spiritual shape tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about what is your spiritual shape. Are you using the gift that God's given you? See, a servant is a gift. By the way, I think everybody ought to possess being a servant. Not only a servant, but what about giving? My gift is giving. I love to give. What about the gift of mercy? Mercy. Aren't you glad Christ had the gift of mercy? And we can go on and we can give you all the gifts tonight that you can be a part of. See, what we do, we read verse 11, we say, wow, that's not us. But that's just a small part of the gifts tonight. Every one of us have gifts from God that all of us can practice and do and make this church a functioning church. I went to the Social Security office the other day. Yeah, I know. I'm old enough. And I went down there, and the gentleman that was the security guard, I'm telling you, he had the greatest personality. Man, he was just so kind to us and everything, and I had to go back again. He recognized, hey, Reverend, good to see you again. And man, we talked and everything, and I want to tell you something. Before I left, I said, what do you do on Sundays? He said, well, I go to my church. I said, if you're not greeting people at your church, you're not doing all you can do for God, because you got a great personality, and people would love to meet you every Sunday at the door. You say, well, I don't know what I can do. Meet them at the door. Meet them in the parking lot. Tell them how glad you are to see them, and you're so thankful. Man, we had people all around here in coming today and greeting us and welcoming us tonight. So what do you got to do to be in shape? First thing you need to do is practice your spiritual gift. What's your spiritual gift? By the way, pray and God will show you. God will show you. What's your spiritual gift? So you say, well, I don't know, preacher. You mean I get down and say, God, what is my spiritual gift? And something comes to your heart, do it. Do it.
Amen.
Do it. And you say, well, that wasn't the one I wanted to do. That's not maybe not what you want to do, but that's what God wants you to do.
Amen.
So we have the spiritual gift. And then here's the second thing. You got to have a heart.
Right.
You got to have a heart. I'm not talking about laying your heart out here and it pumping. That's not it. I'm talking about that inner being tonight.
Right.
that driving force in your life. And I want to tell you, it's an exciting time when your heart is driving you and you're compelled to do something for Christ, and then you get out. There's nothing like winning somebody to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it's so exciting to win somebody to Jesus Christ and then watch their life transform. And I want to tell you, it's exciting and motivating, but if you don't have the heart to be a soul winner, you're not going to do much. You're not going to do much. And there's some weird things that happen when you're out soul winning. I was in Avon Park one day, knocked on a mobile home door. Lady came to the door. I was talking to her about the Lord. And all of a sudden, it looked like somebody drained her face, all the blood out. She turned as pale as could be. And then she started saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." Well, I didn't know, but her dog had got out behind me and peed on both my back legs. You talk about putting a damper on soul winning. But I didn't quit. I didn't quit. And I want to tell you tonight, you got to have a heart. You know what? Soul winning will be the most boring and the most unhappy thing you'll ever do if you don't have a heart to do it. If you go to the door and just say, "Man, I hope they're not there," you probably won't be disappointed. But you got to have a heart. And here's why people's heart don't stay in tune. They forget that people are dying and still going to hell. And only by the grace of God, we're not going to hell tonight. And only by the grace of God, we've been saved tonight. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more out there that need to be saved tonight and know Jesus Christ your Savior. I'm going to tell you, thank God that the 93-year-old man that fought in World War II, thank God there's no doubt about where he's going to spend eternity. He knows Christ as his Savior. And I'm going to tell you, you can go and do those funerals and rejoice because they've accepted the gift of Christ. And you know what? God's Son left us to give the gift out. Amen. So you got to have a heart. And then what about ability? Oh, Aaron, I mean Moses, he said, "I don't have the ability to speak." So God said, "Well, let's use Aaron." Have you ever really studied Exodus and see who does all the talking? Moses. The guy that couldn't talk did all the talking. See, sometimes when you don't think you have the ability, you have the ability, and the Spirit of God is going to empower you to use the ability. And so you need to be willing to use your ability. Then what about a personality? There's some folks that need to work on it. There's some of you that need to, there's some of you need to learn to smile before you get to heaven. Amen. Well, the Lord gives you a crown. No. You're going to heaven, a place that Jesus Christ died for, so you can have a home eternal without the pain and sorrow of life and rejoice. Because of the gift of Christ. Amen. But you need a personality. I had a guy tell me not long ago, he said, "Heaven's going to be a boring place." I said, "You must not be going to the same one I'm going to." Can you think about sitting at the feet of the master teacher? You know, I've often thought about messages I've preached and then sitting at the feet of Jesus and saying, "Oh, my God. What was I doing?" The one that inspired this book, the Word of God. We're going to sit at his feet. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you're a Trump person or not. I'm not getting into that tonight. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If Donald Trump called you to the White House, you'd get all cleaned up. You'd make sure your shoes are signed. You'd make sure your hair's right. Some of you ladies would go back and dye your hair again. Some of us men would. And man, you get in the White House and you're sitting there in that Oval Office. What an honor. What an honor. Listen, listen. We're going to sit at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to tell you what an honor tonight. And you need to loosen up your personality so you'll enjoy it. And let me give you another one. Use your experience. Brother Brinson, when he hired you, he never asked you what you do. He just told you what to do. It worked out. Worked out. And so he told me and a friend of mine, we need to do some painting in the room. We did. I don't know why we ever painted them rooms yellow, but we did. But he's the boss. And so, but you know, I really didn't really know how to paint with a full brush. Because I'd never been trained to be a painter. And T.J. Owens, some of you know Brother Owens. One night we had a work night, and Brother Owens was standing in front of the pastor's door painting it. He said, "You try it." So I did. He said, "No." He said, "Let me show you. You got to get paint in your brush if you're going to get it on the door." Well, most of the time, whenever I got paint in the brush, it usually went on me too. And he showed me how to paint. And you know what? Painting was a lot easier. You know what I was gaining? His experience. His experience. And I want to tell you, some of you got experience. This song leader. I'm trying to find a song leader now. I'm telling you. You young guys ought to be ashamed of yourself if you don't know how to lead singing. Say amen over there. I'm telling you, because you're going to be able to use it for the honor and glory of God. And you might go up to some church one day and some preacher's up there got to preach. He's got to take the offering. He's got to lead singing. And you sitting back there saying, "I could do that." Get up and do it. Use the experience you'll have. So I hope you've realized tonight it's not about us. It's about God. It's about serving God. So God would say to us tonight, "What do you want us to do?" And here's what God would say, "Be available." Amen. Be available. You say, "Well, Brother Jack, what would keep us from doing it?" Being self-centered. It's all about you. Self-centered. These missionaries are going to the field. You know what? They'll learn how to say help. They're doing deputation right now. I guarantee you they know how to say help. Louie and Tiny's son, missionary, on his way to Syracuse right now. I guarantee you he knows how to say help. Yes. And you know what? There's many times in the local church that the church could send a missionary without him having to go out on one day of raising money. Right. If they just do it. Somebody said, "Well, yeah, but if one church gave them all the money, then what happens if something happens to that church?" Who cares? Just go ahead and go, and if something happens, come back and raise some more money. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. People are self-centered. And then there's always interruptions. Parents, you need to stay out of the way when your kids are called to ministry. Amen. There's interruptions. I came home from Bible college. At Christmas time, my dad had died in January of 74. There's six of us kids. And I went off to Bible college, came home for Christmas, and my mother said, "You ought to get a job and not go back." That's one of the hardest things I've ever done, is told my mother I'm going back because God called me. I've got to go back. I've got to go back. God's called me, and I could have let that be an interruption, and I might have been picking fruit today in Polk County. Yeah. But God called me. And then here's another one. You don't think you can do something for God until everything's perfect. Can I tell you, it's never going to be perfect for you to serve God. You just need to get busy and do what God's called you to do. Let me very quickly go to verse 20. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust," look on over, "and he renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, here's the problem, and I didn't read a couple of verses for the sake of time because I got to wind it down. Here's one thing. You can go to, listen to me. I'm trying to help these young preachers and young ladies. You can go to Bible college and come out ignorant. You can go to Bible college and forget all those verses you memorized. Well, I tell you, I don't like memorizing a chapter. Well, bless your heart. Well, you're going to Bible college. You're supposed to learn this book. But if you're not careful, you'll come out ignorant. Because all you are doing is passing a class. I heard that song about the bones. And here's what I thought was, I wished I'd in 11th grade biology, I'd have known that song, I might have passed. You're in one of the greatest churches in America. Amen. You are. And you're being equipped. Members, you are also being equipped. It's not just Bible students' responsibility to help edify the brethren. It's the whole body. And if you're not careful, you'll leave it up to everybody else. Oh, there's plenty of those young people. Well, I'm not trying to insult young people, but they don't know what you know. Is Jeff Cruz here tonight? I want to tell an illustration about Jeff, and this will be my closing because I'll have to run out the side door. Jeff Cruz and I were at Fielder Square Apartments. Jeff had just been up at Dr. Hiles' pastor school. He was red hot. We knocked on the door. This guy, two guys came out. They had a cooler. Both of them had a rod and reel, and they were going fishing. I said, hey, fellas, we're from Bethel Baptist Church, and we just came down here today to see if we can invite you to church and tell you about Jesus. And here's what the guy said. The guy said, fellas, we've been wanting to go fishing, and we're going to go fishing, but you can come back later and talk to us. I said, okay, that's great. Well, I started to pray. So I said, can I pray? And old Jeff says, one of them's got a beer bottle. Jeff says, well, let's just pray you'll get out there and get in that boat and it'll turn over and you'll go to hell. He's not teaching in your college, is he? Oh, God. And I'll never forget the guy raised up a beer bottle and was getting ready to christen Jeff. And I grabbed him by the arm. I said, hey, fellas, go catch a boatload and have a good time.
Well, let's stand. I'll tell you what, that's a good message. That's practical. There's a lot of people that could be doing a lot for God if they just try. And you'd be surprised. You say, I'm not gifted. Yeah, God just hadn't turned that gift on because you're not willing for him to. That's good, Brother Jack. We appreciate it so much. There are probably some folks around here that'll hide you out tonight from Brother Cruz. I don't know. That was a good message for us on Wednesday night. Amen?
Amen.
I believe Brother Hector's wanting choir practice. Okay. Try to get ready for Sunday. All right. Let's close in prayer. Okay. Father, we thank you for the word tonight, how practical, how real. And Lord, how you have equipped us and called us if we'd be willing to serve you. We thank you for speaking to us tonight in a special way. I pray now you'd bless on the visitation times tomorrow and tomorrow night. We pray, Father, for souls to be saved Sunday. Bless the choir now as they get ready, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn around and shake hands.